Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Jeremiah. The Old Testament passage of Jeremiah and chapter number 35. Jeremiah the prophet has been called of God to preach unto the people of Jerusalem during the 11th hour, that Jerusalem and Judea have an appointment with destiny. They have appointment to have the destruction fall upon them because of their disobedience unto the Lord. And God has sent Jeremiah and other prophets to warn them, and yet the people have not heeded. Over and over so far at the beginning part of this series, we have watched as Jeremiah has dealt with the people, and they have one thing in common. The message over and over is that they are backslidden, that they are disobedient, and that God's message to them is to return, return. Over and over we deal with this idea that God has just asked them simply to obey. You know, that seems to be a bad word even in today's society. Obey. Obey. We live in a rebellious society. We live in a society that likes to push the lines. We live in a society that likes to push the envelope. They like to see how far they can get away with something. They like to see to live on the edge, to see if they could go past the edge and still be all right. That is a rebellious society, and that's a society we live in. And that was the society that Jeremiah lived in. It was a society that was rebellious, that was trying to see what they could get away with. They had no desire to obey, and they, because of them continually pushing the envelope, continuing to see what they could get away with, they turned around and saw they were so far away from God. Jeremiah has been preaching for 23 years at this time. And we come to the book of Jeremiah chapter 35. And we can see that this is now one of the very beginning messages in a series of object lessons. What's an object lesson? An object lesson is where God uses a physical example to teach a spiritual truth. And in this object lesson, he's going to use a family to teach a lesson to the rest of Jerusalem. And so if you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah in chapter number 35. Jeremiah in chapter 35, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Jeremiah 35 and verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them in the house of the Lord into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jehazanah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazzanah, and his brethren, and his sons, and the whole house of Rechabites. And I brought unto them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdalah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Manasseh, the son of Shallum, keeper of the door. And I sent before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechem, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build a house, nor sow a seed, nor plant a vineyard, nor have any, but in all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in a land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine in all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men and Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to hearken unto my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechem, that he commandeth his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. And I have sent unto you all my servants and prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechem, had performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jeremiah chapter 35? Jeremiah chapter 35, and notice with me in verse 18, notice the phrase, because ye have obeyed. Because ye have obeyed. And maybe if you'd like to subtitle things, maybe you would like to write this down, biblical standards. Biblical standards. And we're going to teach to you what I believe to be the most biblical, most clearest, understandable message dealing with biblical standards in the Bible. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And thank you so much for the time of testimony and the time of prayer. And it's been a good service already, a sweet spirit in here. I'm asking that you would continue to lend your sweet spirit in here in our presence, that you would speak to us, that you would clearly discern your word, make it clear to us, illuminate it to our hearts, that we may apply it, that we may understand what you're trying to get across, and that we could be people with standards ourselves. Lord, I understand when we hit a subject like this that people have their different opinions, different thoughts, but I'm asking that we would be people of the Bible and that we'd clearly discern what your Bible clearly has to say and we would apply it to our own life. Once again, I recognize that I have no ability. I don't have the eloquence to be able to convince people. I don't have enough persuasive power. But Lord, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would be clear and that people would discern by your Holy Spirit the importance of this subject tonight. Lord, fill me with your precious spirit. And I just trust that you would do your own work through your precious word tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we come to this passage here, as we recapped before, that Jeremiah has been preaching for a little over 23 years now. And he's been dealing with a group of people that have been disobedient in pretty much everything that God has said. And that God has tried to warn them and warn them and warn them. So God now has an opportunity to teach the people about obedience through a family that has standards. Now, what is happening at this time, that is about 605 BC, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has surrounded Jerusalem and has begun to besiege the city. And as people are watching this great army that has closed off the city, Jerusalem safe behind its walls, but it's cut off all deliveries. There's no one getting in or out. It is a perilous time. And so because of that, many people of the countryside have fled inside of the city gates as they saw the Babylonian army approaching in order to save their own lives. And one of these families was the family of the Rechabites. And they have come into the city and dwelling in the city because of safety, because of the things that is going on. And God uses this as an opportunity, as an object lesson, a physical object that could be used to teach a spiritual truth. And so if you don't mind, let's dive in here and let's see the lesson that God is using during this opportunity with the family of the Rechabites. And to teach them about biblical standards and obeying unto the Lord. The first thing I'd like to show you is a family with standards. A family with standards. Notice with me in Jeremiah chapter 35. And notice with me starting at verse number 1. Jeremiah 35 and verse 1. Notice this. The word of God says this. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Now, what happens here is that Jeremiah is told by the Lord to go and seek out this certain family that is within the gates. And as they're going within the gates of the city, that God has told Jeremiah, go gather this family, and I want you to invite them into the temple. And inside of the temple are special fellowship rooms that are usually set aside. The public usually doesn't get to go into there. And they are to be brought into this special fellowship room to be able to talk with Jeremiah. Now, how would you like that? To get a special invitation to go to the temple. And not only go to the temple, but to go into one of the secret rooms or one of the rooms that is not open to the public and to sit and to talk with Jeremiah for an evening. Man, I'd love to do that. I can't wait till we get to the Millennium Kingdom and be able to sit down and talk with Jeremiah. But here's a family that had this great opportunity that Jeremiah comes and says, I want to invite you. Come to the temple. We're going to go to this special room and let's have some fellowship. Man, I take that opportunity up. No problem. And this family did. And so they begin to gather up. Notice with me in verse number 3. And I took up unto them Jehezanah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Hasabinah, and his brethren and all of his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, unto the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdalah, the man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, keeper of the door. So again, it's telling them where exactly in the temple they're having the room, that it's going to be on this floor above here, right over here, and this very special room to have this special time of fellowship with Jeremiah. Now notice this. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye. Now, as we're studying this passage, don't get hung up. We understand that as we're studying what is meant by wine here, the wine used in this case is very clearly the idea of non-fermented wine or grape juice. So basically, Jeremiah has invited this family up, and as they've come up, he says, here, let me get you some refreshments. And so he has prepared for them big pitchers, big pots of freshly squeezed grape juice. Now, there's a siege going on, and so this is very precious. This is something that's a little bit rare. This is something set aside, and it's a very special treat. And he sets all of this aside and says, all right, guys, we brought in some refreshments for you. Go ahead and drink some of this wine. Drink some of this grape juice. Help yourself. And the response was, verse number 6, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build a house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, or have any, but in all your days ye shall dwell in tents, and that you may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all of our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters. All right, so what has happened is that God has already known that here's a family with standards. We'll talk more about standards and what they are in a second, but let me just start you out with this. Is there a biblical command for regular people to say, thou shalt not drink grape juice? There is no biblical command. What has happened is that the father of this tribe said, what we're going to do is that our family is going to have a set of standards. And people may not agree, but as for us in our house, we're going to set these standards in our life, in our house, and we're going to encourage all of our family to obey the standards that we, as the Rechabites, we will not drink grape juice. This is our standard. This is something that our family is going to do. And so when Jeremiah brings them in, he already knows that they have the standard. God has already told them. But this is to be a test, to be a proving ground, not to tempt them to sin, not to tempt them to break their standard, but in fact, to teach a message to everyone else. Here is a family that has standards, and even though they can get away with it, even though no one would bat an eye if they drank the grape juice, even though they would not be in sin, they said, guess what? We will not drink grape juice. Thank you for the offer, but we're choosing not to in order to obey the standards that our family has in our family. And Jeremiah says, great, good. This is the message we wanted. This was not to tempt them again, but this is to prove to the rest of Jerusalem a very special point. Now, with this, let's define our terms. Let's go ahead and explain what we mean here. Now, in the Bible, we have something called biblical commands, meaning that there are commands in the Bible that very clearly are spelt out, thou shalt not, or thou shalt. For example, thou shalt not commit murder. We understand that is a clear command. There's no guessing. I wonder what he means there. That is a very clear command, all right? That is very clear. Those are what we call biblical commands, very clearly spelt out things in the Bible. In addition, not only do we have biblical commands, but we also have biblical principles. Biblical principles. These are principles that are found in the Bible, whereas they may not be very clearly spelt out, that thou shalt not, they are very clearly taught within the Bible, that these are things that we ought to obey. Now, we understand that biblical commands and biblical principles are for all men for all time. They never change depending on when you live or who you are. For example, when we have a biblical command or a biblical principle, that biblical command and that biblical principle applies to you whether you live in America or whether you live in Africa. The biblical commands and biblical principles apply to you whether you live today or if you lived 1,000 years ago. Biblical commands and biblical principles are something for every man at any time. So these things never change. They are always the same. Now, from our biblical commands and biblical principles, we now develop biblical standards. Standards are something that we apply to our culture for our day, for our time, based off of biblical commands and biblical principles. So once again, biblical standards are the application of biblical commands and biblical principles to the culture we live in today. And so what happens is that biblical standards are the application. They will change and they will vary, but they're based off of commands and principles that do not change. Does that make sense? And so we have to understand that there is a thing about biblical principles and biblical standards. Standards, then, you say, well, if standards aren't commands and they're not principles, why have them? Because they are what we, standards are what we would call guardrails. They help protect us from going over. For example, if we had a cliff and a road that was going on the cliff that was a windy road, you would put up a guardrail around it to help you from falling off the cliff. Now, where people put the guardrails is kind of up to them. We've all seen guardrails that go all the way to the very edge that leave no room for error. And then there are some guardrails that leaves a bit of a shoulder. But where you place the guardrails is up to each individual person, each individual family, and each individual church to come up with the standards or the guardrails that they put up. Guardrails, or the standards here, do not determine salvation. They don't determine if you're right with God or not right with God. They are protections to keep us from going too far. For example, we know that there's a Bible principle that says that we should not drink alcohol as a beverage. That is a biblical principle. It is taught throughout the Bible. It is very clear. And so maybe there's someone who was a drunkard and then they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So what they do in order to keep a guardrail is maybe they say, as for our house, so we are not tempted to drink alcohol, we will not have alcohol in the house to give us a protection. For me and my house, we will not have it. You understand that is a guardrail. It is a protection. It is something to help them do. For our family, my wife and my two girls, we have for our family the standard that my girls and my wife will wear dresses. And that is a guardrail. It is a protection because of the Bible principle of modesty and identity. It is what we apply to our family to put up the guardrails. Now, you may put the guardrails in different places, but every individual Christian should have standards and guardrails for their personal life. Every family should have standards or guardrails for their family to follow, and every church should have guardrails or protection standards for their church. Now, each different church may have different standards. Each individual family may have different standards, and each individual person may have different standards, but everyone should have those guardrails to protect them and their family. Now, because that standards are applications and not Bible commands and Bible principles, if somebody has different standards than you, doesn't necessarily make them evil or wrong. Does that make sense? There are some people that equate biblical standards to biblical commands or biblical principles. And so they teach that, bless God, if a lady wears breeches, she's not right with God. Well, someone else may have not drawn those standards up. We, for our church, have put those standards up as guardrails to help with the principle of modesty and identity. Now, whereas on the other side of the coin, whereas standards don't determine whether someone's right with God or not, maybe someone hasn't been taught, maybe someone hasn't come to the conviction, maybe they haven't been taught the principles, and so they haven't made that application yet, they just need to be taught. On the other side of the coin, we can definitely tell where someone's heart is when they determine how they respond to biblical standards. For example, a family may say, guess what? If you're a guy in my family, we will not have long hair. Someone says, well, how long is long? Well, if it's not short, it's long. And so what happens is that you may have a young man who wants to push the envelope. And so he tries to grow the hair out as far as he can get away with. You know what we see there? We see his heart. We see, is his heart submitted to biblical authority as they have set up the guardrails in that family? Maybe the child is full rebellious. I don't care what mom says. I'm going to grow it out. No one's going to tell me what to do. You see, the biblical standard is not the determination of whether they're right or wrong with God. It is their submission to that standard that shows, proves, is evidence of their heart towards the Lord. Does that make sense? And so, again, we could see that standard. Someone can set up what someone may call an unreasonable standard. For example, the Rechabites. The Rechabites, the father of the clan, has said, guess what? Everyone in our household, there is nothing illegal. There is nothing immoral. There's nothing unbiblical about drinking grape juice. But we're going to set up in our family, we will not drink grape juice for whatever reason they set it up. We will not drink grape juice. Now, someone can condescend them and say, bless God, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just being ridiculous. Well, was the father of the Rechabites, was he doing anything illegal? No. Was he doing anything immoral? No. Was he doing anything unbiblical? No. So what he did is he set that standard and he proved the people's hearts that they were submitted to that standard, even though it may have not made sense to a couple people. But that submission proved their heart. That is what Jeremiah is proving. Here is a family that has standards, and you have a family who is willfully chosen to obey the standards. Notice with me verse 8. It says, thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, and our father, in all that he hath charged us with, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. So here you've had the whole family, and each one of them had to come to the place where they would willfully submit. Remember, submission is a heart issue. It's not the idea of just obeying, it's delighting in it, submitting to that authority. Was there anything wrong or illegal, immoral with what they said? No, but it didn't make sense to a lot of people. But they willfully submitted anyways, proving their heart, that they obeyed a rule that technically they could get away with, and it wasn't sin. Was it sin for them to drink grape juice? If one of them drank grape juice, were they going to be hit by lightning? No. If one of them drank grape juice, were they going to be condemned to hell? No, they weren't. But they set up a standard, a guardrail, a protection for whatever reason they have. It did not explain why they set it up. They just explained they'd set it up. And they willfully submitted, each and every one of them, proving their heart. And that's why Jeremiah brought him in the same place. He knew their standard. He knew what their standard was. He knew where the guardrail was. And he brought him into a room where no one could see them. He brought them in and brought in this grape juice, which was a treat, a rarity with a siege going on, and said, help yourself. And they still willfully and respectfully said, I'm sorry, we can't. We have standards that we cannot break this in. Thank you, but no thank you. And Jeremiah was saying, that's all I wanted. He wasn't trying to get them to sin. He was trying to prove that they still had standards, regardless of the situation they were in. Now, we understand with standards, there is a bit of common sense to it. For example, another thing the family had set is that we're not going to have houses. How would you like to have that standard? There's nothing wrong with having houses. Most of you enjoy your houses, right? There's nothing wrong with it. But as for their family, they said, we're not going to have houses. We're going to live in tents and we're going to be nomadic and we're just going to live. We're not going to have farms. We're not going to have vineyards. We're not going to have anything that ties us down. We want to be mobile. Again, it doesn't explain the reason, but it was a standard they put up in their life. Was there anything illegal, immoral, or unbiblical about it? No. So the family submitted anyways. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar and his army started coming to the countryside and started killing everyone that was open and available, they used common sense and said, you know, I think it would be best if we moved to the city behind the walls right now for our own safety. You understand, they could have said, bless God, this is my conviction, my standard. I'm not going into the city. I don't care what it cost. And they would have died. But you understand, you got to pick which hill you're going to die on. Are you going to die for convictions? Are you going to die for principles? Are you going to die for standards? for Bible principles and Bible convictions, we need to stick with the Bible's at. But when common sense hits, it was a very common sense thing for them to say, you know what, we're going to move into the city because it makes sense. We want to live. We want our family to live. However, just because we have to do this for safety's sake doesn't mean that we change our standards on everything else. Does that make sense? And so they're being tested and they're being proved here. We see here there's a family that has standards. May I also put a disclaimer? Standards are not to show authority or dominion over people, but instead they show wisdom and concern over the welfare of people. There are guardrails, there's protection. And sometimes authority has a reason for what they do, even if the people who are supposed to be submitting may not understand. But standards are there for wisdom and protection, not to dominate over people's lives. Does that make sense? Someone who's an authority who loves God is not putting rules out just because they want to see if they can control people. They honestly have a desire to help. They honestly have a desire to protect. Does that make sense? And so we have to make sure that we understand what we're dealing with, that standards are guardrails to keep people safe, to keep us protected, to keep us on the right track. Now, when we started off by talking, here's a family with standards. It now brings us to a second thing here. Not only a family with standards, but we see the message of standards. Do you understand that when we have biblical standards, we teach a message to the world? What is this message we teach? Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Judah, Jerusalem, will you not receive my instruction to hearken to my words? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. But for unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Now God is saying, all right, here's the message here. Here's a family here whose dad, it's a man, he's not God, gave a standard to his family, and they willfully submitted unto their father. They obeyed. Now they're obeying a man. They're not obeying just God here. I didn't give a commandment telling them not to drink wine. They're obeying a man-made rule. But they're submitting to it. And God's saying, here, I am God and I told you something to do and you don't obey me. There's something wrong. Man is over here. God's over here. And these people can obey man and you can't obey a God. There's something wrong here. You understand, a message that is preached by standards is that we can obey. We can obey. We should obey. Standards are a very important message. In fact, notice as God puts this to the point a little bit more by the name he uses for himself. Several times in this passage, he combines two names of God together to show how serious he is about this. Notice in verse 13, you see one instance of it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. You'll see this phrase used over and over in the remaining part. The Lord of hosts and the God of Israel. Remember, the Lord of hosts is a name of God that refers to God being the captain, the general of all the armies of heaven. So think about this, that God commands all the armies of heaven and some pipsqueak over here refuses to obey God's command. That doesn't make sense. All of heaven obeys God. Why don't you? Then it comes to the idea of the God of Israel. The God of Israel is a name of God that refers to, this is the God who watched over and cared for Israel. So when God is putting this together, he's saying, why don't you obey me? I'm the God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. I'm the God who commands all the armies of heaven, and I'm the God who cares and loves for you. Why don't you obey me? Why don't you obey me? And time again in the rest of this chapter, he uses this name for himself over and over to drive home this idea. Here is a man that these people are glad to submit and obey. Why can't you obey my smallest rule when they can obey to what we would call the extreme? They're willing to obey because their heart is right. And you can't even obey the simplest things. You understand what we see by standards is that it is a heart issue. It is a heart issue. Why won't someone obey God's clear commands? It's a heart issue. Why won't God obey, or why don't people obey God's clear principles? It's a heart issue. Why do people have problems with biblical standards? It's a heart issue. But when someone is right with God, they will willfully obey the standards given to them by biblical authority if they're right. It doesn't matter how extreme those measures may be, because it is a heart issue. It is a heart issue. You understand, it is a message of standards. If I could give a personal illustration, forgive me. My wife has wore dresses all of her life. It has become a conviction in her. It's not because I tell her to. It has become her own personal conviction. And many times over the years, she has been at different places, stores, visiting with people. And there are people who just cannot stand to be around her because they're so convicted. Now, they're not convicted over her wearing a dress. They're convicted because she has a standard and it reminds them of their disobedience. You understand, that's how God works. He uses his Holy Spirit. That's why people hate standards, by the way. It reminds them of their own disobedience. But does that mean that we lower our standards? No. We keep our standards high because God can use that conviction to draw those people close to them, because they're miserable around people who have clear standards and they're consistent on their standards. God is poking at them and saying, you're disobedient, you're disobedient, you're disobedient, you're disobedient, you're disobedient. That's how God works. You say, how do you know that's what the people were thinking? They told me. People who got right said, I couldn't stand being around your wife. Why not? Because it just convicted me so much. You know, that's what standards do, and that's what's being taught here. God is using a family here that has convictions to make everyone else miserable because it points out their own disobedience. Their own disobedience. That's why we, as godly people, should have standards, and not just standards, high, holy standards. Because God uses those things in our life to help convict and reach a world around us. So we see the message of standards. So we're introduced to a family with standards. We have the message of a people with standards, that it will be a message to the rest of the world. It will be a declaration to the rest of the world. And again, God is saying, here's people that can obey a man. Why can't you obey a God? Which brings us to the last thing here. And we see not only a family with standards, not only do we see the message of standards, but we also see the blessings of standards. The blessings of standards. Notice with me in verse number 18. Jeremiah 35 and 18. Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Notice, this is God speaking through Jeremiah, and he's saying, guess what? Because you obeyed all of it, because you obeyed all of his precepts, all of it, he says, verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. You know what God just said? I'm going to bless this family forever. This family is always going to be blessed because the family here decided to keep standards. If you're writing something down, and I hope you are, even if you're not writing something down, find something to write this statement down. This is something that will help you. God will always bless obedience to authority. God will always, always, always bless obedience to authority. That even includes when authority is stupid. That includes when you think authority is wrong. God will always bless authority. You understand? The idea of having standards tests our heart to see if we're right with God. It checks and see if we're doing it with our heart or if we're doing it just to be compliant. But when you are obeying to your heart, even extreme standards, or what you would consider extreme, when you think of something that disagrees with God, will always bless obedience to authority. Always, 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 no exception when you obey authority. That means if authority, as long as they're not telling you anything illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, you do your absolute best to obey it, and God will bless. He promised, and this isn't the only passage where he promises it. This is some of the principle that's given throughout Scripture. Throw yourself, be completely obedient to those things. God will bless you when you obey biblical authority within the scope that God has given that biblical authority. Submit yourself. You understand that when you agree with biblical authority, that's not submission, that's unity. That's what we want. Submission comes when you disagree with authority. How will you respond? If authority gives you something that you disagree with, it tests your own heart. And if you choose to submit anyways and delight in it, even if it was something you didn't want to do, God will bless. You understand, we all want God's blessings. God never, ever, ever, ever blesses rebellion. If biblical authority gives you something that's within their scope and is not illegal, immoral, and biblical, and you say, I don't care, I don't believe that, I don't care, I got my own way of doing it, that's rebellion. Absolutely. It is rebellion. It doesn't matter if you think it's a small thing. That's rebellion. And God will never honor rebellion. You understand? So what we have here is a clear thing. We understand in the Bible there are biblical commands and biblical principles. That biblical standards are the application to those commands and principles. And we should all have biblical standards. They are guardrails. They're protections in our life. But they also teach a message to the world. And they also test our own heart. And as we obey biblical authority, God will bless. He promised he would. You understand why some people don't grow so quick in the Christian life? If I could pull back the curtain, you want to know a secret? The people who grow the fastest are the ones who are the most obedient to biblical authority. When someone says, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with this, it halts, it stalls their growth in the Lord. It keeps them from growing the way that they should. You understand? Even if it's a small thing, I don't care, I could get away with it. And you probably could get away with it. But it shows your own heart. You understand? If you really want to grow fast in the Lord, you throw yourself completely to what biblical authority has given and obey it. Even if you don't agree with it, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, biblical, God will bless it. And you will grow. And it will be amazing, you, the closeness you get with the Lord, because God will always, always honor it. Here we have a message of biblical standards from a family here. And God says this phrase, because ye have obeyed. God will always bless obedience to biblical authority. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.